I broke the microphone. Oh, that's a beautiful sound. The sound of God's people getting to know one another. I love it. I love it. Oh, dude, apparently nobody knows what a mayor does, because that was a tough question, but you know, this is a special sort of mayor. Hey, welcome to church. I'm glad to be here with you, and man, what a powerful time just singing praise to Jesus, his goodness, his faithfulness. Thanks, team, for leading us. I don't know if you guys saw this, but all of the guys got this dress code memo of cool vests and ties. Did they not look amazing? Oh, okay. They didn't tell the ladies, however, so they didn't get to wear their vests and ties, which is, you know, we'll work on that, team unity. But hey, it's really good to be here with you. My name is Ben. If I haven't met you, I would like to. My hope is for you, if you're a new a visitor, a guest here with us, that you would go leaving feeling welcomed, feeling cared for. And whether you've been here just this time or all the times, my hope is this, that you would leave encouraged by the person of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to get after that. And we're going to get after that by talking about part two of our series called. And I don't actually know what that purple blob is, but it looks cool. So I was like, yeah, let's roll with it. It's amazing. It's like a geode. But we're in this series called. And as we start, if you have a Bible, you can open to Exodus chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It's on your notes. And it'll also be on the screens. And so you'll be able to follow along there. But here's the deal. We're doing this series called. I need to think of a better way to say that. But we're doing this series because we believe here at North Point that every person on earth, every person is created in the image of God and made with a purpose, on purpose, that we are all called to something. And so every person is created with a plan in mind. And tonight we're going to look at a critical piece in understanding what you were made to do. Sound good? Pretty. It'll be simple. We'll be out of here. We'll be able to go eat at In-N-Out or Chipotle and laugh together and have fun. But here's the deal. The essential part of understanding your calling is this: hearing from your maker. Hearing from your maker. Every person's made in the image of God, their maker. And so think about it this way: every tool has a function, correct? Right. So a broom sweeps, an antidote heals, right? Or a bomb brings destruction, right? Every tool has destruction. Everybody said destruction. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. You're with me. I love this. But imagine a world in which every tool that's been created had to discover its own function, its own purpose on its own. It would be like the brave little toaster horror movie, right? There's a vacuum, there's a toaster, there's a heating blanket, I think, and they are doing weird stuff. You know, you got broom sweeping faces, you got NyQuil is the special juice, and you have bombs pretending to be fireworks and wreaking havoc. You can imagine, right? A world in which tools were forced to discover their own function. And here's the reality, is that so many of us, we try and figure out what we're made to do outside of the purview of our maker. We end up sweeping faces and trying to cure diseases we were never meant to cure, or blow things up we were never meant to blow up. You understand what I'm saying? And so tonight, I'd like to talk about how we can find God where he's at and hear from him and see what he made us to do. Sound good? In fact, the good news is it's actually not as complicated as you might think. And we have a great example from God's story, the Bible, in Exodus 3. Can I read it to you? All right, it's about a guy named Moses, and it says this. Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw the bush was on fire but was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Do not come any closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. And I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, can we pray? And then we'll dive in. Father God, thank you so much for these people. Thank you for just a God who is washing over us with love and compassion and mercy and grace. Father God, thank you for saving us. And I pray, God, where we feel like we need some salvation, God, that you would meet us, that you would speak to us, that we would sense your presence and be drawn into it. Father God, help us to see you where you are. Help us to hear you where you're speaking to us. And Father God, I pray that you would set us free from dissatisfaction. Lord, that the whisper of love would just crowd out all the noise. So God, I pray that you would speak to each individual heart tonight. God, that you would be working on us as a ministry of North Point Church, that we would be people full of love for our neighbors. And God, we pray that you would do this in your precious son, Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So thank you. This great start. Great start. Here's the deal. We have this story of a dude named Moses, right? And Moses is living as a shepherd in a land not near his people. Now, Moses had discovered his vocation. That is, he has discovered his job. He is living as a shepherd. So he's hanging out with sheep, and he's hanging out in fields with, our favorite little lamb chops. And he's found his job, but he hasn't found his calling. In fact, we see in Moses a deep, deep longing. We see him searching. In fact, we see him searching before this moment, but in this moment in particular, we see him searching for God. And we know that Moses is searching for God because he began in a place called Egypt, and he ran and fled from Egypt after killing an Egyptian slave master. So you kill an Egyptian slave master, and you get put on trial for murder, right? And so he's like, I'm not going to jail. I'm not getting executed. I am out of here. And so he left his calling to lead Israel out of Egypt to take a different job as a shepherd, and he'd been doing pretty well at it. In fact, he'd been doing it for decades at this point, so that's a long time. Anybody been working a job for decades? Really? Oh, yeah, that's true. You work on a farm. I was like, you're not old enough to work at jobs for decades, but you start them young when you're growing corn. That's amazing. Anyway, but here's the deal. He's been doing this job for decades, and understand this. A vocation, a job, it's something that you may be gifted to do. It may be something that you have a passion to do. It may be something that you even need to do, but it is not necessarily the thing that you are called to do. A calling is this. It is the thing that God has asked you to do. And the only way to hear what God has asked you to do is to come into his presence. And so we see Moses looking for that moment where God says, this is what you are called to do. Wouldn't that be nice if God just told you what you were called to do? That would make things a whole lot simpler. Oh, plumber, yeah, I could do that. Like, right? Like, you guys with me? So he's looking, he's searching. And we know that he's searching for a few reasons. First, Moses leaves home and he marries a pastor's kid. Anybody married to a no, nobody's married. Okay. Nobody? Anybody? No. Okay. Just, you're not married. Anyway, sorry. He's married to a pastor's kid. It says that he's married to Jethro, the priest of the Midians. So he marries a guy who spent his whole life giving people spiritual advice, giving advice to people who are searching for who? God. You with me? So he marries a priest a priest's daughter. That's pretty cool, right? And then we see this. He does something very strange, right? If you are a shepherd, for me, if I'm a shepherd, right, I'm going to the closest patch of grass, right? Are you with me? The easiest amount of effort for the work that you're doing, like make the most money with the least amount of work, that's me. But it says he crosses over a desert to go to, did you hear where? The mountain of God. He walks not across the desert to get to the greenest pasture, but to get to a mountain. Isn't that interesting? He's like, hey, well, there's probably grass over there, and I heard God's there. I'm going to go that way. He's searching for something. And here is the thing that I want to flesh out for us tonight. And you can write this down, because it's important to understand when you think about calling, and it's this. Searching people are called people. Searching people are called people. Now, Moses, he's looked in his family's faith tradition. Man, he's looked on the other side of the desert. He's contemplated in the quiet moments in the pasture with the sheep, right? As they're doing their sheep thing. Bah, right? Like, I can't do sheep noises. Anybody got one? Oh, that's amazing. That was really good. Sheep noise for the win. Hey, he's been searching his whole life for something more. He's married a religious family. He's gone on a religious pilgrimage. He's spent time in solitude and meditation in the fields, right? Things that people spend thousands of dollars doing. He's done them. And he's searching like all called people do, because called people understand that they were made with a purpose. And they feel this in their bones, whether they recognize it or not, that you cannot be satisfied, man, until you have discovered what God made you to do. Like a broom sweeps, like a bomb blows up, right? Like medicine heals. Man, if we're doing the opposite or using our gifts in a way that doesn't fit with what we were designed to do, we often find ourselves pretty dissatisfied. And here's the deal. All searching people are called, and we see this. It's almost a self-evident truth. You guys know that's a famous historical, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Well, here's a second self-evident truth. Are you ready? And it's this. All people are searching. And there was a... we're all looking for something. And here's the example that I would tell you. Are you ready? Check this out. Okay. So this author and pastor, Tim Keller, he talks about this old Supreme Court justice, and his name is Bork. Everybody say Bork. I think we have a photo of him. Do we have our Bork photo? Bjork. There he is. His name is Robert Bork. Can we all say Bork? Bork, okay. Robert Bork, and he was a Supreme Court nominated person, right? He was hyper-conservative. He looks conservative. He's got the red tie, the Abraham Lincoln beard, you guys with me? You're like, why is he talking about Bork? I don't know who this is. So he's super conservative, like, I can't even think of how conservative he is, the most, right? Are you with me? Okay. So he sits down for an interview with a woman whose name I don't remember. Here it is. Camille Paglia. And she is a friendly looking lady. And she is, this is how she identifies herself. She is a bisexual Democrat. What was the third thing? I forget. Basically, the biggest liberal of her day. Are you guys with me? This is someone who came out of the closet in the 80s. So this is not popular. This is pretty courageous, pretty bold. And so we have two people on opposite sides of the spectrum. Are you guys with me? Okay. And here's what the amazing thing the interviewer did. He asked this question, and it's almost unbelievable, because he got them to agree on something. Can you imagine Hillary and Donald agreeing 100%? This is what this was. Are you ready? You ready for the question? You don't seem ready at all. Okay, you are ready. I'm sorry. Here's the question. Do you believe there's a spiritual awakening in this country? The interviewer asked in clarifying that question, do you believe people are searching for old-fashioned religion? Do you believe people are searching for God? And both said emphatically in the same moment, yes. Isn't that not, you guys, in a world that finds it impossible to agree, that the thing that we can all agree upon is this: we're looking for something more. And the good news is that searching people are called people. Now, understand that one of the reasons we search is because we are called, and you and I were made for something more. We were made in the image of God, and Moses is searching, and then he finds something incredible. And here's the good news. We can learn a thing or two from Moses about, man, what is it that I am made to do? Are you guys ready to discover how? All right, here's the first thing. Man, you begin to discover your calling when you're ready to look for him. When you're ready to look for the living God. And Moses, he crosses over a desert, right? And he sees a bush that's burning but isn't burning up. Pretty weird. Did you know that in the deserts around Israel in the Middle East, that bushes sometimes spontaneously combust? Is that not interesting? And so you could actually see a bush. You could see a bush on fire and think, oh, no big deal. Like, another bush caught on fire. a car fire. No big deal, right? Like, you slow down on the freeway, but you don't stop. It's like that, right? And yet, he takes a second look and he says, oh my goodness, that bush is burning and it's not going out, right? He takes the second look. He's ready to see God where he is working. In fact, it says this in Genesis 3:2. It says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. And as Moses looked, he saw the bush was on fire, but was not consumed. So Moses thought, and this is the great question, right? This is the question that shows that he is ready to look for God. He says, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? Now, here's the thing I love about Moses. It's so cool. Moses is more curious than he is afraid. He's more curious than he is afraid. How many of us are more curious than we are afraid, right? I actually want to know why that person wore that hat, because it's a weird hat, right? Like, and you guys ever had that moment, right? The person, he's wearing a hat that you would never think that someone would wear in public. No, not your hat. You're good. and you're like, well, I just won't look at it, right? That's usually our response. But what would it be like, right? If you're like, hey man, where'd you get that hat? What is that, right? Do you know you can learn some pretty cool things when you ask that question? That's what I love about Moses. He's the guy who's like, bro, your hat's weird. That's him, right? Okay, sorry. I don't know why I started talking about hats, but here's the deal. Moses, he's more hungry to find a deeper meaning. He's more hungry to see God than he is preoccupied with his tasks, right? Moses, he's searching and he knows it. And he sees this bush, and he does what? He draws near to it. And here is the important thing that I want you to understand, and this is the title of the message. If you're going to understand your calling, you will at some point need to be drawn in to the presence of God before he can send you out. So at some point, you'll need to be drawn into the presence of God before he will send it out. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, okay, Moses saw a burning bush. It wasn't burning up. He asked the question, why are you wearing that hat? But nobody's wearing weird hats in my life. I don't see any burning bushes. God is not revealing himself in the same way that he... Are you with me? Yeah, like, you're like, yeah, that's great for Moses, but I'm not seeing God show up in miraculous ways anywhere. And I know that some of you are thinking this, because I remember thinking the same thing. I cannot seem to figure out where God is or what he's doing or what he has for me. But the truth is, if you're searching, then you are called, and if you are called, then God has made himself available to you. God is not silent. He is not unknowable. In fact, Jesus said to us this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is among you. Isn't that interesting? So could it be that when we struggle to see God, that it is because we have not trained our eyes to look beyond the burning bush to the fact that it's not burning up? That we haven't trained ourselves to recognize where God is working, the weird hat that the person is wearing? Could it be that we have a recognition problem? I sometimes feel like I'm back in Communications 3. Anybody have Communications 3? Do you guys know what that is? It's the public speaking class that everybody has to get. Oh, Claire's got it. Yes. Oh, a couple of you. Communications 3 was an amazingly fun class for me, but I feel like I learned nothing because when I prepare to give messages for Thursday night, I often struggle. In fact, I feel like my college education let me down in this regard because I really struggle to speak sometimes. In fact, my first time at North Point, somebody fell asleep right there in that chair. It wasn't Tomas, but they fell asleep because I just didn't do a very good job of keeping their attention. And here's the deal. My time in Comm 3 didn't prepare me. And these are can I give you the speeches that I gave in Comm 3? Okay, here, check this out. Okay. Why you should all buy a George Foreman grill. That was number one. All right, so that was one. The second one, I can tell you what this was about later, but nerds are the real drug addicts was speech number two. That's a good one. Okay, and then winning the wedding, a wedding toast for the ages is in the parentheses. So those were my three speeches, and I tell you this because I feel like my college experience didn't prepare me for standing in front of you, and I felt this acutely last week as we talked about calling. I had this problem. I had all these thoughts, but I didn't know how to explain them. Anybody ever have that problem with friends? You know, you have this thing you're trying to explain to them, but you can't figure out how to make them understand what's speeding through your head. This was me last week, and I'm like, God, where are you? Why aren't you showing me anything? Why don't I have a better example? Right? I'm getting frustrated. I'm about to throw a microphone. Right? And I'm like, Comm 3 failed me. What the heck? Where are you, God? And so we get through the message. Nobody fell asleep. I'm very grateful to you for that. Thank you. And so we get through the message, and then I realized this. I had set this goal of reading these specific three books about calling before giving this series. Three books, right? Anybody read three books this year? You guys are great readers. It's amazing. So you understand. It's hard to read books. So I read half of one book before giving last week's message. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should read these books, right? So I read the second half of the book that I was supposed to have read last week. And do you know what? There were four stories that were perfect for explaining the things that I had no idea how to explain. Isn't that interesting? Could it be that the reason that we struggle to recognize God is we simply are not doing the looking properly. We're not looking where he's told us to look, which is places like the mountain of God, right? Moses is like, it's the mountain of God. I'll go over there. He's ready to look for him. Are you with me? All right, check this out. Check this out. I think, and can I just say something kind of hard to you who are longtime North Pointers? People, and if you're new here, I'm not calling you out, but I think we as a church have a recognition problem when it comes to seeing God. And I think we have a recognition problem because he doesn't hide from us. He always has something for us. He's like a tidal wave that we can't avoid, right? This is the image that we just sang about. And I think that we have a recognition problem. And here's where I think we miss. I think that we spend a lot of time dissatisfied by what we haven't seen instead of being overjoyed and pumped up about what we have seen. And here's where I see that. We have small groups. In fact, we have four small groups that you can sign up for in the back. They're brand new sign-up sheets. So you're not the only person who signed up for the groups, but we'd love you to sign up. But here's the deal. When it's come to small groups, people have had a great deal of complaints about small groups as a system. You guys know what I'm talking about? I've heard things like, it's not deep enough, it's not doing it for me, too young, too immature, not at a convenient time. I know that school's busy, I know that life is busy. But good news is we have small groups 3 out of 7 nights of the week, so hopefully you can find one that works for you. But here's the problem, is those complaints don't demonstrate the most important thing to being in the presence of God. They don't demonstrate the most essential thing for understanding what you were made to do. They don't demonstrate the thing that satisfies us as people, and it's this, a desire to see God, a desire to have a burning bush sort of moment. Are you with me? The complaints aren't, man, God just wasn't there. The complaints aren't I didn't have a chance to hear God's truth. The complaints aren't, I didn't have a chance to have somebody cry out to God for me in prayer, right? Those are not the complaints. The complaints are, it's kind of like that, you know? And we all do it, right? We all do it. Are you with me? And here's the deal. I think too often we are upset about what God isn't showing us instead of delighting in what he is. We're upset about what we don't have instead of what he has offered us. Jesus is showing up all over the place, man, if you take time to look. And we saw him show up in a summer small group they met on Tuesday nights. Ashley Mullins was our host. She is a cheer coach, so she's not here. But she hosted this group, and she hosted it knowing that this is a great place for people to meet with God, which is a cool thing. And can I just read you some of the things that people said about this group? And this is because people went with this I'm ready to see God mentality. Are you with me? Check this out. They said, man, we had incredible conversations about our walk with God. Like every week I heard things like this. We had incredible conversations about our walks with God. We laughed a lot. Anybody kidding me with a little laughter? Yes. Okay, good. I felt like God was teaching me this. Or I think God might be calling me to go back to fill in the blank. I heard thing after thing after thing. Or my personal favorite, sorry, I can't come tonight. I have a small group. What? Right? It's like they're so excited about what God is doing in this little group of people that met in somebody's living room that they wouldn't miss it for anything. And here's the deal. My question for you is this. Is your religious activity, is it about seeing Jesus, or is it about satisfying a need that you have? Can we just think about that for a second? Is your, as Christians, right, is your religious activity about seeing more of Jesus, man, or is it just about meeting a need that you have? Because let me just tell you this. If you are here to feel better about yourself, you are in an empty pursuit, because the only person who makes us feel better about ourselves, who tells us who we were made to be, who satisfies the deepest longings of our hearts, is our Maker, and his name is Jesus. And this is where Moses finds himself, in a little cave with a burning bush that's not consumed. Can I get an amen? Okay. This is the amazing thing about what God has called us to. It's not about praying more. It's not about reading our Bible more. It's not about going to church every night of the week. It's about putting ourselves in a position where we can see Jesus. And the truth is that those things help us to see Jesus, but only if we're ready to see him. Only if we're willing to take the second look, right, to ask the difficult question, to step into something uncomfortable. I have a few verses that communicate this, and then we'll move on. And the last bit will be a bit quicker. But here's the deal. As I read these verses, I need you guys to say the word. Every time it comes up, I need you to say the word will with me. Can you say will? Okay, here's a practice run, okay? I'll point to you, okay, when you say will. My wife is pregnant with twins, if you don't know. And so here we go. Twin babies will be born before the end of the week, and I will like it. In fact, these baby girls are going to be born next Thursday. And if you come next Thursday, oh, yes, there's a scheduled C-section, and it's going to be gross but fun. But here's the deal. If you come next Thursday, I promise to send Ronnie photos to share with you. He's going to be sharing from God's word about calling, and so don't miss that. Now, you've had your practice with will. Are you ready? Okay, it's going to be up there, so just read it when the word will comes up. Okay, here's the first one, Jeremiah 29:13. We got that verse? We don't have that verse. Okay, I'll point to you. Are you ready? I'm sorry. All right, here we go. You seek me and you find me because you seek me with all your heart. Can I just tell you what that says? It says, you will find me. God says to us, you will find me. You will find me. You will find me. I am findable. I am not hiding when you seek me with all of your heart. Jesus said it very similarly to his disciples, right? He said this in Matthew 7:7, and I'm guessing we don't have it on the screen, but I'll point to you. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Ask and you receive. Seek and you find. Knock and the door be open to you. Jesus says, hey, if you look, I'm here. I'm not hiding. I'm not far off. And my question for us tonight is this. Could it be that our wandering from major to major, ministry to ministry, friend group to friend group, small group to small group, friend group to living alone in isolation, watching Netflix by ourselves all day long, right? Could it be our bouncing from thing to thing, from person to person, has to do with this, that we've forgotten that the only place that we can hear about what we were made to do is in the presence of our Maker, and that he shows up in places like this, that he shows up in places like Ashley Mullen's house, right, or Ken and Deb's small group, or serving on Sunday morning, or blessing your neighbor, right, with a delicious barbecue tri-tip. You know, you fill in the blank, whatever it looks like. Man, God shows up in these moments if we'll look for him like a burning bush that isn't consumed. That's the first step. And here's the second step. And I'll try and be brief. I promise I'll try. But here's the deal. Man, when we come into God's presence, when we begin to recognize, when we begin to look for him, when we recognize and believe with our whole hearts that he will reveal himself to us, man, we need to be ready to listen to him. We need to be ready to listen to him. The first question is this: will you look for him? Are you desperate for him, or are you desperate for a solution? Are you desperate for him? Are you desperate to just feel better about this moment? Are you desperate for him, or will you look for him? And if you're ready to look for him, then you better be ready to listen to him, because to find what we are searching for, we must hear from him. Can I share with you one of my dirty little secrets? I could have said that a different way, but I chose not to. I led a mission trip in college. And we were in San Diego, which is a great place to lead a mission trip. Sunny, and there's beaches and surfing, and it's great. But we were there. We were sharing our faith, and on that trip, we were given an hour each morning to hear from God, to hear what he had to say to us. We were given an hour to pray, to read our Bibles, to just spend time asking God, hey, what do you got for me? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about? And you know, maybe some of you are like me in this, but the truth is that every day except for one day that week, I fell asleep during that hour. I fell asleep every time. And here's the kicker, right? Is when people asked me how that time hearing from God was, I told them it was great. It was amazing. It was the best hour of my week, which honestly wasn't untrue. I really enjoyed sleeping. But it wasn't also very, very true, because I hadn't spent any time hearing from God. And the truth is, I was more interested in sleeping than hearing from God. I wasn't ready to hear what he had to say to me. And I think that is really the key. I think that we have to be ready to hear what God wants to say to us. And part of being ready is understanding what the sorts of things God is trying to say to us when we read from his word, when we look to him in prayer. What are the things that God actually wants to say to you? And we can learn a few of those things from Moses. Now, I want to just share quickly with you three things that God will speak to you when you read your Bible, when you pray, when you come to church with expectant ears. Everybody say expectant. All right, here are the three things. Are you ready? Moses, he came to this burning bush and he was expectant. And God, when God speaks, he reminds you who you are. He reminds you who you are. And you wouldn't think this would be important, because if somebody asked you your name, you would probably say, what would you say? Good, good. That was pretty good. Some of you know who you are. But good news, if you don't know who you are, God will tell you. And here's the deal. Moses shows up in the presence of God, and in his head, this is who he thinks he are, because who he thinks he is. Moses thinks, right, he thinks he's these things. He left Egypt with these labels plastered across his chest. He left thinking, I'm a traitor. I'm a murderer. I'm a sellout. I'm an underachiever. I'm unwanted, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go read Exodus 1 and 2, and you will see clearly what I mean. This is who he thought he was. But God shows up in this burning bush, and he says the most stunning of things, right? He just says, Moses, Moses. Or maybe more like this, Moses, right? And then one more time with me. Moses, thank you, okay. He says Moses, he calls him by name, right? And you know what? He doesn't tell Moses anything he doesn't know. But here's the deal. We forget what we used to know. We forget important things about who we were made to be. And here's just a few fun Moses facts. Are you ready? Moses trivia for you who do pub quizzes, right? All right, here's Moses trivia number one. Moses in Hebrew means drawn out one, the one who was drawn out. Do you know Moses was drawn out of a river as a baby because his mom didn't want him to be killed by the Egyptians, so she put him in a river and just prayed that he would not get eaten by alligators, right? And somebody draws him out of the river, so he's the drawn out one. And Moses has a different meaning in Egyptian. Do you know what it means in Egyptian? Son. My son. So when he says Moses, he says it twice, and it's essentially like he's saying, hey, the one I saved. The one I saved, and then he says, my son. Now, could you imagine, right, if every time you came to God and you read his word, you heard from him, I saved you because I love you. And I've called you my son, or ladies, my daughter, right? Would that not change the way you live? Would that not inspire some confidence in you? Would you not feel the love of God in those moments? He cries out and he says, hey, you think you're a traitor, you think you're a failure, you think you're not good enough, but all I see is someone I've saved and someone that I love, right? And someone who's part of my family. When you read the Bible, read with this goal in mind, hearing from God about who you are. Man, if you do that, you will hear from God all the time, and it will be brilliant. It will be brilliant. Now, here is the second thing, the second way that God speaks. Are you ready? Because we're running out of time. He commands you to worship. Man, when God speaks, he will command you to worship. And when Moses shows up before the burning bush, what does he get told to do? He says, take off your sandals. I'm not wearing sandals, but I took them off anyway. Boat shoes. They're the sandals of the 21st century. And now we're good. Okay. He says, take off your... I shouldn't have done that. Take off... sorry. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Do you know that that is a command to worship? And that's a weird command to worship. Usually when we do a call to worship, we say, hey, would you come sing with us, right? That's our normal call of worship. But Moses shows up in the presence of God and he says, hey, take your shoes off, son. Take your shoes off, right? I have my friend Jeff came over for dinner on Monday night. We were hanging out. And first thing he walks in, he's like, hey, should I take my shoes off? And I, as I'm telling him, no, it's cool, he's like popping his shoes off, right? He's just ready to go. He's popping off because in the ancient world, just like today, we take our shoes off when we're in someone's home, right? When we're in the place where they set the rules, where we're in a place where we want to respect their property, right? Respect what they are in charge of. And when God commands Moses to take his shoes off, he's asking him to do two things. The first is this. Are you ready? He's asking him to acknowledge that he is in charge in this place, that God is in charge in this place, that this is God's house, that God is the one who sets the rules. Does that make sense? Just like you take your shoes off when you go into someone's house. The second thing is this, that he wanted Moses to stay humble in his presence, that he wanted him to stay and be willing to sit in his presence in humility. You know, when you take your shoes off, you're not going anywhere, because let's be honest, you could cook an egg on that sidewalk outside. Can you not? Probably still. And if you pop your shoes off and you leave without your shoes, you're cooking. And so when you take your shoes off, you're communicating this, that you're intending to stay. And here's the deal. God, when he speaks to us, he commands us to worship, because when we're worshiping him, we are acknowledging before God that we intend to stay in his presence. And here's why this is important to understand and call in. I need to put my shoes on. I intend to stay, but I just feel awkward. But here's why this act of worship, this act of obeying him as he commands us to worship, is so important in understanding calling. And it's this. So many of us choose our careers, choose our life paths, right, based on this popular saying, right? This, you can fill in the blank, okay? Do what makes you happy and you'll never work a day in your, you guys don't know what I'm talking about? Do what makes you happy and you'll never work a day in your life, right? And this statement, it sounds really true, except it communicates that your life is all about you, right? And when we begin to take our shoes off before God, when we begin to listen to his command through the scriptures and through God's word and through his people, to worship him for his goodness, his amazing love for us, his power, his authority, we begin to acknowledge that our life isn't about us at all, that what we're called to do isn't about making us feel really great. It's not about us finding the thing that makes us the most happy. It's not about us at all. And when we begin to hear from God, we begin to have this moment of clarity, right, where we begin to acknowledge that I am not living my life for me, but I'm living my life for the God who I have just stumbled in front of. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this brings us incredible, incredible freedom, because, listen, when your life is all about finding the thing that makes you happy so you never work a day in your life, as soon as your job gets difficult, you'll feel like you made a mistake. This happens in relationships too, right? I'm going to find the woman of my dreams so that I can always be happy, or the man who just makes butterflies fly in my tummy. I don't know how you say it. Ladies, you're so much more poetic than me. But here's the deal. I think he's the one. I think she's the one. And when our life becomes about that person and how they make us feel, man, as soon as they disappoint us, right, we're crushed and we feel like we have to move on. And so we bounce from person to person to person to person, from career to career to career to career, from ministry to ministry, from ministry to ministry. And we never discover what we were actually made to do. Are you with me? And here's the amazing freedom that comes when we hear from God about worship, when we hear him say, hey, listen, worship me and taking your shoes off and staying in my presence. Worship me and serving the people around you, those in need. Worship me and singing joyfully to the Lord. Worship me and hearing from me. We acknowledge in those moments that he is in control, that we live for him, not for ourselves. And it sets us free from the disappointment of, man, I'm struggling in this moment. Because it's not about us, it's about him. And here's the good news, is that God ultimately loves us more than we love ourselves, and he wants to bless us more than we could ever bless ourselves. And when we begin to seek first his kingdom, all those other things come our way. And this brings us to the third thing. When God speaks, and then we'll be done. When God speaks, he whispers his heart of love. He whispers his heart of love. Now, before I explain what I mean, I'd like to just clarify something, because the Bible is really clear about what we're called to. Did you know that? I mean, I've been saying this quite a bit lately, but if you want to know what you were made to do, God has already told you, and that's really good news, and here it is, okay? Here it is. You are called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know that you can do that exactly where you are sitting right now? Do you know that you can do that exactly where you are working right now? Do you know that you can do that exactly in the classroom you are in right now? And yet so many of us aren't, because we're looking down the road and thinking, once I get there, then I will be living into my calling. Now, the truth is, you can do this call that God has put on our lives right now. And I ran across an amazing story about a tattoo parlor and racists. And I'd like to share it with you. Can I share this with you? And then I'll give you one last thought, and then we'll worship more time. I'll check this out.
We all make mistakes.
Isn't that a crazy story? Isn't it? That's an amazing example of loving someone right where you're at. Man, especially in a world where being racist gets you kicked out of your university, your job, plastered all over the internet, right? To have somebody say, hey, listen, I know you make mistakes and I want to give you a chance to change. Isn't that an incredible thing? And that's what love does, man. It gives people second chances. And that's what love does, man. It reaches out a hand and says, hey, you have a place in my home. That's what love does. And yet, man, we struggle so hard to love people, do we not? And we struggle to even talk to people we don't know. And why is that? And why is it so difficult? And we learn something from what God chooses to speak to us when we read his word, when we come to church, man, when we spend time in community with one another in small groups or meet together for a time to pray together. We learn something of how God speaks, and he speaks in whispers of his heart of love. Here's the truth of the gospel is that we love only because God first loved us. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only reason we know what love is and that it's worthwhile is because, man, God loved us with this relentless, unavoidable love that crashes over us. And we see God's heart for love and what he said to Moses. He said this in Exodus 3. He said, then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. And then he says this. It's amazing. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them from the land to a good and spacious land. Isn't that amazing? God says, hey, listen, I love these people enough to come down and rescue them. And could I just say this to you? Jesus has done the same for you and for me. Jesus is in this room right now calling out to you, trying to remind you of who he made you to be. I mean, trying to challenge you to live your life not for yourself, but to turn and to worship him, to take off your sandals and say, you're in control. I want to be with you. That God is here. He wants to whisper his heart of love, that I love people. I want to redeem people. I want to save people. I want to help people. I want to rescue people from the floods of their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we see this in the person of Jesus Christ, who, while we were still sinners, right? I say it over and over and over again. While we were still sinners, he dies for our sins, right? He dies for our mistakes so that they're buried and gone and dead. so that he can call us forgiven, rescued, drawn out people. And we're drawn into the love of God when we recognize that not only has he saved us and forgiven us from any ill will that we've had towards our neighbor, any hate that we've directed at our maker, right? Even the things that we've neglected to do that we know are right, he's forgiven it. And he says, I've done all the work to save people. Would you just lead in love? Did you know that he calls Moses not to save the Israelites, but just to lead them out of slavery? And that's what it means to love one another. Man, that's what it means to love one another. It's to be set free from our insecurity, our loneliness, our unforgiveness, our brokenness. That's what it looks like. And the only way that we'll ever do that is if we begin to hear God's whisper of love. And he has a lot of love for you. Can I just tell you that? Now, we're going to sing one more time. But before we do, I'd like to pray together. And as we pray together, understand this. You don't struggle to love because what God has asked you to do is hard to understand. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Simple, right? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. He says, don't neglect meeting together with one another. Encourage one another daily, right? Welcome foreigners and strangers. That's simple, right? Give them a couch. If someone is hungry, feed them. Jesus said that. If someone is thirsty, give them something to drink. Love is simple, but it's difficult because we have to receive the love of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And tonight, my hope for you is as we sing, as we pray together, that you would hear God speak this word to you. I forgive you. I love you. I've called you. I've called you to love people where you're at, and I will send you out. I will send you out to your campuses. I will send you out to the world. In fact, man, if you want to see where God might send you out, where he has a heart for people, we have these global maps that you can be praying through, places where people need the love of God. Sound good? All right, let's pray and let's sing one more time. Father God, thank you so much for the way you love us. God, that you're not hiding from us. God, that when we seek you with all of our heart, we find you. And Father God, for those of us here who just aren't seeking you with all of our heart, God, I pray that you would stir in them a desire that's burning, God, to know you, to seek after you, to hear from you. Father God, that you would help us to own our sinful attitudes before you that says, I can do this without you. And God, for those of us who are trying to love, but we're doing it in our own strength, I pray that you would set us free from striving. God, that you would help us to understand that you've forgiven us, that you love us, that you empower us for each moment. God, would you give us words of joy and hope and peace? God, would you bless these people as they go into their Fridays, into the weekends? God, that they might know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.